Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
What do you have in common with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Noah? You're going to be surprised, but tons. Thank you for listening to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. If you like this episode, you can download it absolutely free on our website, finallyaliveradio.com. Again, that's finallyaliveradio.com. So if you remember last time, we were talking about self-love and self-esteem and how truly we can actually love ourselves because God first loved us. Quite honestly, we couldn't find any reason not to love ourselves if God first loved us. And that is the case for every single believer. In fact, everyone on earth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. If you live on this planet with me, I know you do, God does love you. Therefore, we have no excuse. So to continue on with that thought from last time, I want to turn to Hebrews 11 and just read through the chapter to show you how much you have in common with these people here. And I don't know what your church or your circle calls it, but you know, I've heard it called the Hall of Fame of Faith and names of that sort. It is the all-star chapter of the people of faith. And again, I want you to see how much you have in common with these Hall of Famers. So if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 11, and verse 1 starts off with, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So we are going to talk about faith in this chapter, aren't we? "For by it," in verse 2, "the people of old received their commendation," meaning they got a good report from God because of what? Verse 1, faith. In verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain." Now, if you remember the story, Adam and Eve have children, and we know them as Abel and Cain. And if you read it in Genesis, you'll understand that when it was time for sacrifice, Cain gave of the herbs or of vegetables, and Abel sacrificed animals. To God, the animals were actually what was the accepted sacrifice. So what Cain offered was not acceptable before God. Cain gets jealous, he gets upset. God comes to him and tells him, hey, you know, cool it, you know, get a hold of yourself. Take it easy. Sin is waiting for you at the doors, the way it says it in Genesis. But Cain cannot control himself and ends up killing his brother Abel. Now think of this story. Abel is the one who did the offering according to the way God wanted. Abel did the right thing. What was Abel's reward on earth? Death. Now, you haven't experienced death, thank God. But what you have in common, just like most of us as believers will have in common, is that even if you do the right thing, you may not be rewarded today, this month, this year, or maybe ever. But regardless, you do the right thing. So look, Abel's reward was death. For doing the right thing, to do the acceptable, in fact, the way it says it here, the acceptable sacrifice. Look, you give God the acceptable sacrifice. You give to God what he wants from you, from your time to your money to whatever else he asks you to sacrifice. There's no question about that, because whatever he's asking of you, he can bless you with way more. That's just the way it is. He is the inventor. He is everything. We talked about that in the last show. You continue to do the right thing regardless of the reward. Now, we also have to kind of think here. Abel didn't get his reward on earth. In fact, what he got was death. I wonder, this is just me thinking, I wonder how God accepted him into heaven. I wonder if he got a reward in heaven. I don't know. Hard to say. But I think the reward is you obey God, and there's a reward in that. I mean, what better reward is there than being with the Almighty God, the Divine One Himself, the Perfect One Himself? I mean, you're literally on His team. That in itself is a reward. See, it all comes back down to simply faith. That's all the requirement is. You walk in faith. You do things in faith. In verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Did it say anything about you doing good works and being nice to people and helping people? No, those are all nice things. Those are great things. In fact, I encourage you to do that and maybe even do more. But what does God want from us? Faith. Again, let me read it. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." But see, that aspect of the reward, see, that's the little carrot dangling. We have to realize that the reward sometimes is not going to be in this life. Sometimes, and this is, you know, maybe far-fetched, but think about this. Sometimes the reward is going to be the knowledge you gain from whatever you sacrificed. A lot of times, and maybe most times, maybe all the time, that we go through something negative, something ugly in our lives, there is always, I think, this is just the way I've seen this, and this is my experience even in counseling, every horrible thing that happens, every bad thing, every ugly thing that happens in our lives always has a lesson in it. A weird way, that's the silver lining. That's a, I know, a strange way to look at it, but that's a silver lining. That is actually, in a sense, the reward. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't look like it. But what if you just learned a $1 million lesson from that tragic event? I bet you 5, 10, 20 years from that time, you'll look back and say, wow, if I didn't go through that, where would I be right now? If I didn't experience this, if I didn't go through this hardship, I wouldn't be here by now. God has interesting ways of giving you rewards, and sometimes it's not the happy, skippy reward. Sometimes the reward is a lesson.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.
Verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah..." Now, you know the story about Noah, don't you? If you want, you can read in Genesis chapter 6, and you can learn more about Noah there. But I'll give you the summary here. Noah is seen as a righteous man. God favors him for some reason. But why is Noah so special? Now, we know that Noah's the guy God chooses to build the ark. But here's the kicker that isn't really talked about. It's said that to build that ark, it took about 100 years. That's just what is said. And if you remember the story, they lived a lot longer than we do today. And it's actually right around where Noah is mentioned, where God shortens lives down to no more than 120 years. And in fact, we still see that to today. How many people do you know who lived to 120? I don't know any. But just going with that thought, if it took Noah 100 years, and it talks about how people were mocking him and laughing at him, talking about how is the earth going to be flooded? That's just wild. Imagine being persecuted that way. See, we talk about persecution today, and there are horrible stories out there of people being persecuted. But I think this is on a whole different level of persecution. 100 year persecution, being mocked and laughed at. See, they didn't understand rain and floods back then. That wasn't a problem. That didn't happen. Well, not until after Noah. And that makes sense. I mean, you know, we might have some sort of revelation from God, that maybe our circle doesn't have or our, you know, church may not have. And it's very simple to be mocked. You know, it's easy to go to, you know, in a workplace environment and be teased for your faith. I mean, we see it all day and all the time on TV, where we as believers, specifically Christians, you know, even Catholics, we are teased and made fun of for our faith. I think it's absurd and that's embarrassing, and that says a lot about those who don't believe in God. But regardless, we keep them in our prayers, and God will deal with that. But I want you to see persecution. You want to talk about persecution? How about 100 years of persecution? How about being mocked? Look, we've been mocked. You know, we talk about being bullied and things of that sort. I'm sure you've experienced some sort, or you've seen it at least. How much more different are we than Noah in the sense of being mocked and being ridiculed? And maybe you got it really bad. I don't know. Well, look, my friend, you're not alone. Noah experienced it again for at least 100 years. But look what it says. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He earns this amazing title of being an heir of the righteousness. I mean, what a title that is, huh? To be an heir, a son of the righteous one. There's a very high cost that is paid. There's a big sacrifice that is required of us all. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Remember, all you must do is believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved. You are automatically a brother, a saint, a fellow heir, as I am. No different than I in that sense. But as Romans 12 would tell us, Paul says, be a living sacrifice. That is part of our job. It's part of our ministry. We all have a ministry. I believe every single person who is a believer has some sort of ministry, whether it is preaching, whether it is doing missionary work, you know, going to the jungles, you know, to preach God's word, or simply staying home to raise a godly home. All of it is ministry. Look, we all fit in the body of God somehow, some way. Not a single one of us is excluded in the sense of what we can do, what we can sacrifice, and what we can give to God. So yes, salvation, that's paid for. But there is still a responsibility, a duty that we all have as believers, which is, it starts with the most simplest, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, creating disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is what Jesus says at the end of the gospels. That is what we do as believers. But that's a sacrifice. That's going to be a problem a lot of times. It's not going to go well a lot of times. But look, ask God to lead you, pray, and He'll lead you in His way to do what you must do in your walk, in your ministry. Every single one of us have a ministry. We don't all need a pulpit to have a ministry. But we all have work to do. And thank God, I'll say it this way, we'll all suffer together. For God's name's sake, it's totally worth it. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Verse 9 says, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Imagine God telling you, hey, I'm going to take you to this land. There's going to be this land, and you're going to have a ton of kids. And I'm sure Abraham is bewildered in thinking, okay, how does this work? Because I don't have any kids, and I'm old, and my wife is old, and there's no way we can have children. God says, don't worry, I'll take care of that part. And lo and behold, they have children. Look, that takes faith. How many times do things look impossible in our lives? Yet if it be God's will, if it be God's direction, it's going to happen whether anybody wants it or not. Oh, but I forgot to say, did you know that Abraham told a fib? Genesis 12:13. You can read it yourself. He goes into these foreign lands, and knowing what will happen, he tells his wife to tell the people that that's his sister so that they won't be killed. So he tells a fib. The point of why I'm even mentioning that, and I totally forgot to bring up Noah, Genesis 9:21, it says that Noah actually got drunk. Oh my goodness. Can you believe it? I want you to realize something here. Now, I'm not here saying you should go and get drunk. Listen to me carefully. Regardless of the weakness of man, from Noah getting drunk, Abraham telling a fib, God still used them, and God still counts them as righteous, and they end up in Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of faith. How are you any different? Are you telling me you haven't lied in your life? Everyone's lied. If you're telling me you've never lied, you just lied to me, okay? Who hasn't gotten drunk? Most people have gotten drunk. But I want you to understand, God is not limited by your limitations. And again, to connect this with our last show, because you have failed, because you have done things wrong, because you have sinned, the list of all the horrible and wrong things and the negative things that we've done, you are not seen any less by God. God loves you exactly the same amount that he loved you yesterday, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the case, and he will love you exactly the same for eternity. That said, a word of warning. If you're going to drink and get drunk and become a drunkard, you will deem yourself worthless to the ministry. This is not an issue of love. This is not an issue of acceptance. You're still loved by God. But unfortunately, God won't make you step down. You will step down on your own accord by your own actions. So if that is an issue for you, you're not being judged, but deal with your issues. Being a drunkard is a problem. A drunkard is an alcoholic. That's not a person who drank, you know, a little wine yesterday. It's a person who goes to the extreme. It's an addiction. Those are problems. Those need to be dealt with. Find help, get help. Many churches have help, or they can at least direct you to places where you can get help. Get those things dealt with. This is not an issue of God not accepting you. God's already accepted you. Now you need to start accepting yourself and accepting responsibility for what you're doing. I pray for you. I hope you will do the right thing and deal with yourself, because God has a lot in store for you. But you've got to deal with yourself. You've got to deal with those addictions and watch what God will do. It might take some time, but you have to practice patience and trust. Just like we're talking about here, have faith and trust God. That's definitely a word for somebody out there, because that wasn't part of the notes here. So be it. See, we have to realize, if God is God, he knows everything, right? If he knows everything, didn't he know that Abraham was going to lie and Noah was going to get drunk? Of course he did. But you know what's interesting is we judge man harsher than God does. See, God can see past our limitations. We can't. We tend not to, actually. And that's a problem. Sometimes we have, you know, spiritual, what they call spiritual pride. And we learn a little bit, we go to church a little bit, and all of a sudden now we think we're higher and mightier than someone else. Let me ask you, when did Jesus do that? He is the highest and mightiest of them all, and he walked on this earth. When did he ever go out of his way to make someone feel horrible? In fact, the only ones who he went out of his way, if I could say, to make feel horrible were the ones who acted high and mighty. He put them in their place. He had the authority to act high and mighty, but he didn't. He was humble. And again, I'm not saying that we're supposed to be like Jesus, but what a great lesson to learn. If the highest and mightiest came and was humble and was accepting to deal with people, isn't that a great example for us to follow? And look, I'm not saying he was accepting in the sense of accepting the sin and the things of that sort. No. He knew what he was dealing with. He knew who he was dealing with. And he looked past their problems and dealt with them directly. In verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Now, you can read the story in Genesis chapter 22. So, in a nutshell, the story goes, God asks Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son. Remember, he couldn't have kids. And God asks him to go and sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. Abraham follows along. Now, I'm going to get a little historical for you. I'll give you a little background here. What would happen is back in those days, within different religions, this was actually a common practice. They would sacrifice their first son to their God, to their deities. Abraham thought our God, Yahweh, was no different than all the other gods. So he went along. So Abraham did walk in faith, but the kicker was he didn't know the ending. And what happens here is God ends up, two things actually happen here. Yes, Abraham proves himself to be faithful, and he actually gets that title of being faithful. And the second thing that happens is God proves to Abraham, I am not like the other quote-unquote gods, little g. I'm different. How am I different? I don't need you to sacrifice your son. In fact, I'll do one better. I'll sacrifice my son, Jesus Christ. That was the lesson. Abraham didn't understand the whole Jesus part yet, obviously. But he saw in that moment that, wow, this God's different. Every other God, every other deity around me wants a sacrifice of the first son. But this God actually brought his own sacrifice. That was the goat caught in the thicket, a representation of Jesus coming later. Our God, Yahweh, historically is different. He is the God of gods. He is the greatest one. There is no one like him. There's no one that can outdo him. He is the greatest and he will never be outdone. That is Yahweh. Verse 20 says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Verse 21 says, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff, which reminds me right there, you know, just the whole idea of the staff in your hand. That is a great picture of faith. I really like that picture. I learned this many years ago, and it's just stuck with me since then. The picture of faith is this. Just like a person would put all of their weight on their cane, on their walking stick, they're literally putting all their weight and putting their trust in this little stick. It's a great picture of faith. That's a great analogy on how we're supposed to lean on God. You lean all of your weight on God, just like you would on a walking stick. But here's what's interesting. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham's the father. Isaac is the son of Abraham. Jacob is the son of Isaac. What is amazing is they're all walking and trusting this promise of this land of promise. And not a single one of them have seen it. Sometimes we're going to go through things and we're going to get direction from God, or we're going to know that this is going to happen, but I just don't know when it's going to happen. In their case, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's, they never saw the promised land. They were told about it, but they never got to see it. It wasn't until after Moses, which is far, far, far down the line in time, that the land of promise is actually seen and lived in. Once again, what God said happened. But imagine living your entire life in faith and never seeing your promised land, but knowing full-heartedly that God was going to come through. What if that happens? What if you're promised something? What if God gives you a direction a revelation of some sort, but it just doesn't happen in your lifetime. Does it mean we should lose faith? Absolutely not. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what great examples to see what can actually happen. We walk in faith regardless if we saw it or not, just like they didn't. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. My friend, that's what we have to do. Look at the reward. Paul says it better. Focus your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look, you can look left and right. There's nothing there. Look at Christ. Focus on Christ. Now in Exodus chapter 2, verse 12, interesting verse about Moses. We know about Moses. We know he is the guy who gets the Ten Commandments. He gets a lot from God. He gets to speak to God. He gets to see the backside of God. I mean, they had quite a relationship, didn't they? God and Moses. But have you ever read the verse, Exodus 2, verse 12? It talks about Moses killing a man. Oh, and by the way, this doesn't happen after God chooses him or talks to him. This happens before God came to him. You know what that means? Even a murderer like Moses was fit for God's job. Now, I don't know if you've killed anyone or if you know anyone who's killed anyone. Even that isn't limitation for God to use you. I hope you understand when I say God has no limitations. Now I'm giving you actual events, actual things right out of the Bible, and I'm giving you the Bible verses so you can see it for yourself. These men were no different than you and I. They did, maybe even thought, a lot of the same things you and I did. So their righteousness wasn't quite all of their actions. Their righteousness came from where their heart was. They weren't perfect people, just like you and I. We aren't perfect. We're broken human beings attempting to do the best that we can. That's all these guys had, and that's all we have. Again, this isn't a message to say, hey, go and I'm okay with you killing people. I'm not saying that at all. But I want you to see that God can deal with a murderer and give that person his commandments and give that person a leadership to guide all of Israel. That's what Moses did. He guided all of Israel out of Egypt and took them right up to the promised land. 40 years of that. Now tell me, what is your excuse? What can God not accept about you? The answer is nothing. I would highly recommend, just like the word says, to repent, turn of your old ways. Don't do those bad things. Definitely don't murder. But stay away. Stay away from, you know, those other things. You know, but God will do that within you. You chase God and you'll see that you'll be doing less of those bad things anyway. So if you're hearing this, God hasn't given up on you. It's not the way he is. That's not his style. It's not the way he does things. It's not his pattern. In fact, it's not God who gives up on you. It's you who give up on God. That's just the way it is. God has no limitations. You and I do. So I want to encourage you. Don't give up on God. Continue to follow him. No matter how nasty, no matter how tough it is, no matter how much wrong you've done, repent. Get back on track. And see what God does in your life. Ladies, verse 31 says, by faith Rahab. Who is Rahab? Let me skip a couple of words here. It says, by faith, Rahab did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, the spies, if you know the story, the spies were Israelites. They were trying to check out the land and see what God wanted them to do there. But the few words, the two words, in fact, I skipped in that verse, were the words, the prostitute. Rahab was a foreign prostitute. But because, by faith, as it says here in verse 31, she did the right thing by God and to his people, the spies, she is named in the Hall of Fame of Faith. I mean, think about this list here. We've mentioned all the Hall of Famers, if you will. All the big names, the names that everyone knows. Abraham, Moses, Noah, and Rahab, a prostitute. Can I make it any clearer that God has no limitations and he will use who he will use? I want you to see, I don't know what you've done, ladies. But maybe, you know, maybe you haven't done prostitution. Maybe you have. I don't know. Maybe horrible things have happened to you in your youth. I don't know. But God isn't looking at you any less. He doesn't think of you any less. In fact, he can't wait to have a relationship with you and to use you in his work, in his great work. See, in God's world, all because you've been a prostitute or you've done bad things or you've let yourself go doesn't condemn you to the sidelines. Because all we have to do to God with God is ask for repentance. Just ask for forgiveness. Repent means turn from your old ways and don't go that way anymore. But no, you haven't been forgotten either, ladies. You are part of the body of God. You are part of this ministry just as we as men are. God wants you in the camp just as much as he wants his men in the camp. You're part of the team. And yes, you are accepted. Just repent of your ways. That's all you got to do. Don't go down the wrong aisle anymore. And you're loved and you're accepted. Look, we can keep going. But I think you get the point here. Every single one of the people we mentioned failed somehow. Had failures in their lives, had ugly pasts or something of that sort, something that wouldn't jive with some people today or with society today. Yet God, again, has no limitations, accepted them for who they are, knowing what they were capable of. And because they answered the call, the job got done. And now they are in this chapter. Hebrews 11. Will you accept this message? Will you accept that God can look past your sin and your horrible past? And God isn't sitting there judging you over all those things and wants a relationship with you and wants you to trust him. Will you accept that? I just read in almost the entire chapter here explaining to you how broken these men were, but they're the heroes in Israel. Do not let Satan steal this message from you right now. He's going to lie to you and tell you, but you're different and you did this and you did that. My friend, how much worse does it get than prostitution, than murder, than lying, than drunkenness, than addictions, whatever else you want to throw in there? I gave you all the extremes. There's nothing more extreme than murder. And God looked past that. Satan's a liar. You're no different. Look, you're a broken person just like I am. And God will use you just as he uses me. I'm no different. There's nothing special about me. I'm just another human being trying to make, you know, right by God. I dare you to give it a try. I dare you to trust God. See what happens. Pray to him. Start accepting yourself. Just as God has already accepted you for who you are. And part of the proof is you're listening to this message. I don't think any ears are listening to this message by accident. I don't care who you are. You're listening to this for a reason. Whether you ran into this by accident, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't know. As I get older, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I believe there's a reason for everything. So I believe there's a reason for you to listen to this. Trust God with all you've got. And you are loved and accepted. Repent of your old ways and go to God. Just trust Him and watch what He does with your life. Until next time, my friend, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464. Or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.
My friends, this show is made possible because of supporters like you. See, my friend, this message isn't just for you, but it's also for others, and there's others who will not be able to hear it. But if you can support us today, that's going to help us and assist us in getting this message out. My aspect of the ministry is doing my best to give you what God has given me. Your aspect is to help support this ministry. And by you supporting, we can get this out further, you know, down the line, perhaps even make it a longer show. We're actually working on adding video to the show, but we can only do it with your support. Will you be the one that will show support to this ministry? Please go to finallyalive.com/give. That's finallyalive.com/give. We appreciate your support to help keep this ministry going worldwide. Again, we thank you.